Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories, with ratings based only on member feedback, AngiesList.com. And
Subaru,
where all vehicles are built in zero landfill plants.
Love, it's what makes a Subaru.
And Esurance, with 24/7 customer service and claims.
I didn't know that.
Of course you didn't. You're on their do not answer list.
Really?
No, they'd even answer your calls.
Esurance.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Graceful Aging here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is a letter from David Lee Roberts.
Okay.
A story, it says.
All right, I'm ready.
Working people frequently ask retired people, what do they do to make their days interesting? I went to the store the other day. I was only in there about 5 minutes. When I came out, there was a city cop writing out a parking ticket. I went up to him and said, come on, buddy. How about giving a senior a break? He ignored me and continued writing the ticket. I called him a Nazi. He glared at me and started writing another ticket for having worn tires. So I called him a piece of horse manure. He finished the second ticket and put it on the windshield with the first. Then he started writing a third ticket. This went on for about 20 minutes. The more I abused him, the more tickets he wrote. I didn't care. My car was parked around the corner.
I saw it coming.
See, you never know what those old geezers are doing.
Yeah, mischief, I guess. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Angela calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Angela.
Angela.
Hi.
How are you? What a nice name.
Oh, thank you.
So what's going on?
I have a 1984 Audi 4000S, and the oddest thing, when I turn on the defrost, and it doesn't always happen, but I get this big whiff of maple syrup that comes right out of my dash.
Oh, that's not good.
It ain't maple syrup.
It ain't maple syrup.
Unless you went to a pancake breakfast.
But it's about as expensive.
Left someone on the dashboard.
It's about the same price as maple syrup. That stuff is about $900 a gallon. That's what's going to cost to fix this.
Are you serious?
Well, it may.
It's sort of sticky stuff.
Well, it isn't even sticky. It just has that pleasant aroma.
Yeah, it smells so good.
Okay.
And how can something that smells be so bad?
Uh-huh.
You might ask.
It's antifreeze,
yeah.
Angela.
See, that's what I was thinking, but I couldn't see it anywhere in the engine.
Well, you can't because it's all leaking underneath the carpet.
Really?
Yeah, probably. What's leaking is the heat exchanger or the heater core.
Uh-huh.
And that thing is a little radiator that's under your dashboard. Really under the dashboard. I mean,
yes.
way under the dashboard.
Secreted under the dashboard, you might say.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they go out of their way to, they put it in, I think they build the entire car around
They suspend these things from wires.
Wires.
Yeah, like fishing lines.
And then they build the entire car, and then they cut the wires. And that thing is in there somewhere, they're not telling anybody. I mean, even the dealers don't know where it is.
Ever get this out? It's like a Ford Taurus. Ford Taurus is like this. We have had a customer that came in the other day with a relatively new Sable.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed a new heater core. His car, unfortunately, was 3 years and a month old.
Yeah.
And they told him he's going to have to pay for it because he's beyond the warranty.
What did they want for that job?
I think a mere $900.
I said that to her.
Yeah. So you may be looking at that amount of money, too. On the other hand, you know, if you have a good stock of long underwear and the like, you can probably tough it out through the winter.
So my best choice here is not turning the heater on?
Well, yeah, I mean, that will solve the problem because you do have a heater control valve on this car under the dash.
So that will shut the flow of coolant from the engine to the heater core, so it will stop leaking. And also, by the way, it's not good to breathe this stuff.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to have it done unless you want to just shut it off and go without heat. You can try a stop leak compound. You can try adding Alumaseal to your radiator or Bars Leak or raw eggs or pepper. But I would try
all
the
of these things work sometimes. Okay. And it's definitely a time to try this stuff.
Okay.
Even though mostly it doesn't work, who cares? I mean, if you're facing $800 to fix the thing.
Yeah, you'll certainly spend $10 for the can of stuff.
And $10 for the next one, and $10 for the next one, until it approaches $900.
Right. Yeah, when you start closing in on $300, you might want to reconsider. And my brother, as he's mentioned in the past, has always recommended that you look for a container that says has the word miracle on the on the labeling.
Yeah.
Because anything that says miracle is bound
miracle
to work. It's going to be a miracle if this works. But you'll want heat at some point during the winter.
Probably.
And I would suggest a soda straw stuck out the window so you can breathe.
One of those fluffy straws.
You know what to do? Have you got a hibachi?
A hibachi?
You know those little things? They're cheap. You can buy one. You can maybe just catch one in the hardware store that still has one.
Sure.
And you just put it on the seat next to you. Throw that those briquettes in there and fire that baby up. I would start it outside the car because the headliners can't take it.
Yeah, yeah, the flames.
Will the antifreeze flammable?
No, don't worry about that. See you, Angela.
Good luck, Angela.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
At least she's got a heater that can leak. I don't even have a heater.
And she sounds like a good sport.
She can take a joke. She can take it. And besides, does it get that cold in Eugene? You bet it does.
Oh, I think so. I don't know where Eugene is. Dougie's seen Eugene recently, but I don't think anyone else has.
Oh, Eugene, my brother-in-law, he's in the parallel universe. He'll be back, though.
Oh, yeah.
He crawls in and out of those wormholes.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eric from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, Eric from Ann Arbor. What's going on, man?
I'm actually calling for my mom. She has a 95 Dodge Intrepid with 106,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And she brought it into the dealership, and she told them that she was going to sell the car, and that she just wanted it checked over.
Yeah, you should never tell them that, because they figure this is their last chance to get you. They figure she's going to go buy an Audi, and why not get it for every cent they possibly can? But obviously, it's too late for that admonition.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, well, they came up with a bill of about $959.
Perfect.
Yeah,
why did she say she wanted to do this so that she could sell the car in good conscience?
Yeah, pretty much. Like she actually looking to sell it in 6 months or so.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah, so like one thing that was glaring at me when I looked at the bill is that they said the front crank seal was leaking. Now the part cost $4.10 and the labor cost $358.
That's about right. Isn't that something, huh?
Yeah. So we were wondering if this is even worth doing before we sell the car. Or what it's all about.
Well, I mean, if it were leaking badly, you'd see spots of oil on the driveway. Do you?
I don't think there's any spots there, actually.
And there hasn't been excessive oil consumption in your estimation?
I actually don't drive the car, so I can't really be...
So you don't know. Well, I mean, that's what you'd want to know from your mom.
Okay.
I mean, if the thing is leaking so badly that it's just pouring out, which is unlikely, by the way.
Okay.
But possible.
Well, she'd know it. The driver
would
be a mess, and she'd be adding oil frequently.
Okay.
And this certainly would qualify as falling under the description that my brother gave at the beginning of this, that they're looking for anything that they could find. It might be that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
They also said all belts are glazed.
Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's reasonable?
If the belts are making noise, I'd replace them, because that'll sound bad to a prospective buyer.
Okay.
Other than that, I would just drive the car.
Okay, great.
And I wouldn't be too worried about
it. But ask her if she's consuming oil, because maybe she does have to do these things.
Okay, I'll ask her. Okay, great.
See you, Eric.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye-bye.
See, why do people think that there ought to be some correlation between the price of the part and the price of the labor?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was the other way around, if the part had been $380 and the labor had been $4.10, nobody would complain. But if you say that the part is $4.10 and the labor is $380, everyone's going to complain. There must be some optimal ratio.
Well, the optimal ratio is, for example,
another doctoral dissertation.
The power steering pump is $200 for the part, $200 for labor, and that seems fair.
You think 50-50 is right?
50-50 is right.
No, I think the part's going to cost more than the labor in all cases.
You think so?
So if you say, well, the part is $295 and it's $5 to put it in. They say do it.
Do it. I'm going to try it. No matter if the job is $300, the part's $280.
That's it, every time.
Plus tax and $7 labor.
$7 labor. Yeah, that's good. I like it. Yeah. I would like
it. Only took us a minute to put that new crankshaft in. Maybe a minute and a half. But we have a minimum labor rate of $7.
Is a doctoral dissertation.
Oh, indeed. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's worthy of Sir Worthington Price Fix.
It is.
Yeah.
In fact, my buddy Dick Harmer, who used to teach at BU, but I don't think he does anymore, but he is the world's foremost pricing authority. I'm going to propose this to him. And
well,
I'm sure he'll have a doctoral student on this in a week.
Well, I mean, rest assured that the people that sell everything on late night TV have got him beat by a mile.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they wrote the book.
He consults to them.
Well, maybe with them. If you see one of those things on late night TV and you say, boy, I'd buy that if it wasn't $200. And they say, it's not $200, it's not $100, it's not even $50, it's $49.95.
But nope. Tonight only $19.95.
And we throw in the entire Sleepy LaBeef collection, and you reach it, you can't help it, you just go for the credit card, you can't help it.
Yeah, is that how you bought Mob Hits?
Yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Peter Daniels from Crested Butte, Colorado.
Hi, Peter.
From where?
Crested Butte.
Crested Butte.
It's a small ski town, central Colorado.
That's better than Crested Brute.
Crested Butt.
Everybody who lives here has heard that one.
Yeah, Crested Butte, where? What state?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Oh, okay. So what's up, Peter?
Okay, well, I have a car.
Good.
And that's the first problem. The rest of it is the mechanic, and that's me.
Oh, that's the second problem.
I know it, and it's a biggie.
Yeah.
The problem is, I could be driving along, and in the day, it's not a problem, but generally when I turn on the lights, and particularly if I have the heater on, if I step on the brakes, there's often a flash or sparks, and usually accompanied with the smell of wires.
where does the flash occur?
That occurs directly above my left foot, near the clutch, and it's at that time that everything about the car stops. So the clock stops ticking, the engine, the lights, the only thing continuing is any forward momentum I might have had. So
what year Dodge Dart is this?
It's a Honda Accord.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
How old?
80, 81, something like that.
80, 81.
Yeah,
back
when you go back that far, they just do approximate dates.
Well, I've never figured it out, and every time I need to buy a part for it, they're the same regardless of the year, so I never bothered.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's a hint. It may help you. Years ago, a bicycle that was being taken off the roof ripped the antenna off, and I'm wondering if water could have flown down inside of that little extra space that was then made and then gotten into the wires and then overheated, because it originally started in 92.
Wait, water could have flown down?
I lived in Washington State. I thought it might have just past tense of flow.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. It's past participle, right? Flow, flowed, flown.
Well, as long as the point's conveyed.
I loved it.
The point was conveyed.
And the point was I understood everything.
Okay. It didn't bother me.
So
okay.
You think maybe water got down in a short circus?
I thought that
there
might have been a short circus.
I don't think so.
I thought that was the beginning, maybe.
Well, no, you say the problem happens when you step on the brake only.
Yeah.
Well, have you bothered to look to see how many wires you're crunching when you're stepping on the brake?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more along the lines of just like power draw.
No,
you
it's
think
not.
So? I mean, the additional power draw when the brake is depressed is pretty minimal.
It's 4 amps.
Okay. Well, why would it be increased? Why would this problem get worse when I also have the blower fan on?
And what happens again? You see sparks?
Uh-huh. and I'm nearly confident that when I stand on that brake, it doesn't budge a wire.
And every time?
What if you had everything else off?
Well, without the lights off and without the fan off, it's usually a pretty good bet that I'm fine.
Oh, that's why you have drawn the conclusion you've drawn.
Yeah.
And I'm with you now.
Okay. Well,
I still don't believe it. Because, I mean, it's very unlikely that power draw could cause sparks to fly.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to have positive making contact with negative.
A short circuit.
And that happens when you push a wire somewhere. And I would have to bet big bucks.
Okay.
If you had the stomach for it and could lie down on your back.
I've done it.
With your head underneath that dashboard.
Been there.
While driving.
Oh, that's tougher. That's a little bit harder.
Well, did you do it with the heater on, the lights on, and have someone depress the foot, the brake pedal?
No, I've just done it sitting there in the driveway.
Oh, you've got to turn everything on and pretend that you're driving, but obviously don't.
Exactly.
Put your head under there and have somebody else.
I would wear safety glasses just in case.
in case spots do fly. Yeah, good call.
Yeah. And I think you'll just see what's happening. It's going to be...
So you're still pretty sure that I'm moving a wire when I step on
it. I think you're going to do a visual on this one.
I think so.
I think so. It is not an electrical problem. It is a mechanical problem.
Okay.
I would bet money on it.
I just don't see how it's related to when the blower's on, though.
It's rare that we get calls like this because most cars with these problems catch fire.
That's another story. That was a different Honda.
You've burned one up already.
That wasn't my fault.
No, you have. I'm telling you, you have got to be somehow moving a wire.
Okay.
You've got to be, or somehow interrupting a ground circuit. You may be, for example, when stepping on the brake, you may be moving the firewall enough.
Ooh.
To interrupt a ground circuit.
Okay.
Ooh,
because,
that could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either you have a cracked firewall and you're interrupting a ground circuit that flows through the firewall or some such thing, and that's causing the dimming of the headlights and it's causing the sparks or whatever else you see.
So tomorrow morning, just turn on the heater, turn on the lights, and crawl under there.
Do it at night.
Of course, at night.
With glasses.
Yeah. And you'll see those sparks fly. And you'll know exactly what it is.
Okay.
But make sure there's someone around to help you, because when the thing catches fire, you need someone to grab your feet and drag you out of that front seat, because you'll be buried
and throw sand on you.
I'm writing this down. Okay, throw sand.
Throw
okay.
sand on
Got
Peter.
It. Okay.
Thanks, Peter. Good
yes,
luck.
Sir. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Tommy, it seems we need a little time out right now, don't you think?
Is this so I can think about all the wrong answers that I've come up with today?
Well, not really. We only have a minute. We'll be right back.
Ashes to ashes, rest to rest. Yeah, she's lost all her lugs and half her lacquer. Long gone the days of cruising downtown. No transmission, grill or glass. Never more to go so fast. That young girl in the backseat says, slow down.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our classic car tours of the New England foliage. See the leaves from one of my personal vehicles while it's being towed, of course, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
WeatherTech,
maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from dirt, mud, and sand.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at LumberLiquidators.com.
And even though Maya Angelou beats her radio with a rhyming dictionary whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, the charitable arm of Bridgestone Americas, whose nearly 5,000 teammates in the state of Tennessee share a passion for excellence.
Thank you.
There are families in East Nashville that live just blocks away from upscale neighborhoods, yet survive on $52 a week. Many mothers work three jobs just to feed their kids. There's a line between our children and the education, assistance, and opportunities they need to succeed. A line between poverty and potential. The Martha O'Brien Center is breaking that line and helping others to do the same. More information is available at breaktheline.org.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this one was from the baseball algebraic series.
There aren't many of those.
No.
This is the only one.
Stand alone.
A series of one.
Here it is. There are two rookie players, and we call them Bluto and Popeye. On opening day, they made a wager on who would have the best batting average at the end of the season. So here it is. It's the last game of the season, and nothing's going to change because neither of these guys is in the starting lineup. So Bluto says, "Hey, Popeye, what did you bat for the first half of the season?" Popeye says, "I am what I am, and that's all that I am, and I batted 250. Bluto says, "I got you there. I batted 300. Then Bluto asks, "How about after the All-Star break?" And Popeye proudly pipes up, "I batted 375. Bluto says, "Pretty good. You know what I betted? 400. Fork over that $20 that we bet.
And I believe you also said that they had the same number of at-bats.
I did. It was then that Dougie the Bat Boy saunters over and says, "Don't pay the $20. I think you won."
Huh?
How could that be? And how many times did they hit him with the bat? Well, here it is.
Go ahead, man. I can hardly wait.
Let's assume that they both had 600 at-bats.
Is that a lot?
That's about average for a guy who plays the whole season except for the last game.
Okay, that's 600 at-bats. Yeah.
If Bluto batted 300 for the first half of the season, and he had 500 at-bats during that first half of the season,
he had got
150 hits. 150 over 500 is 300 average,
so
right?
He would have gotten 150, yeah.
Okay. If Popeye batted 250 and had 100 at-bats, he would have had 25 for 100. Okay. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Second half of the season, Bluto bats 400. How does he do that? Well, we know he had 500 at-bats in the first half.
So he's only been up 100 times in the second half
of the
season.
And he got 40 hits.
And he got 40 hits. Got it.
Popeye bats 375.
But he's up 500 times.
And he gets 187 and a half hits. One of them was a check swing single over the infield. They don't count that as half a hit.
Yeah.
So now let's figure it all out.
So we got
Bluto batted 600 times. How many total hits did he get?
190, I have.
Right. How about Popeye? How many hits did he get?
212.
212 and a half.
And a half.
And when you figure that out, Bluto batted 316 for the season.
Yeah.
Right? Even though he batted 300 and 400 in each half.
Yeah.
And Popeye bats 353 and wins the batting title.
No kidding.
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty darn good. A good little example of the arithmetic mean
and how statistics can lie. More importantly.
Wow. That's good. Now, you know that every fifth grade teacher in the country will be using this problem next week.
I hope so.
I hope so.
Because it's a good one.
And what they should do is take bets. Teach the kids about betting.
Right.
and they should give odds. Teach the kid about odds.
They can cover all the bases,
cover
so to speak.
All the bases, so to speak.
So who's our winner?
The winner is Mike Bennett from Dallas, Texas. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Mike is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With which he can get a Car Talk Disappearing Hairline Cover-Up Kit, also known as the Embroidered Car Talk Baseball Cap.
Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler from the World War II series.
Oh, the Inky Shadows!
Coming up in the third half of the show. So hang on if you possibly can till then. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
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 This is Monica from Avon, Minnesota.
Hi, Monica from Avon, Minnesota. You have that little lilt at the end of your voice.
Oh, really?
That reminds us of a guy named Dave who called us from Bemidji. Minnesota.
Well, that's not too far away.
I didn't think so.
No.
So what's going on, Monica?
Well, my 16-year-old son is driving a Dodge 88-600 without power steering.
It used to have power steering.
It used to have power steering.
What year is it?
An 88.
Yeah.
And the car's had a lot of trouble. And we put in a power steering pump, and that wasn't the problem.
Oh.
So then my husband just decided to cut the belt. And so now my
brother did that one day, and his pants wound up around his ankles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what the problem is. Obviously, your husband knows.
Well, he thinks it's the racks and pinions.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost hundreds of dollars.
Oh, it's very bad.
Yeah, it's very bad. So I am very, motherly and worried about my son driving around without this power steering, and I want to know, is that something safe for him to be driving around and winter's coming, or do I need to have my husband do something about it?
Do something.
Well, I would say in the interest of safety,
mm-hmm.
Not even so much for your son, but for others,
mm-hmm.
What the power steering enables you to do is to turn the wheels with ease when the vehicle is either stopped or barely moving.
Right.
If you're moving at high speed, you don't even miss the power steering. In fact, I'm sure your son has reported to you.
Exactly.
That he doesn't even know that
doesn't
it's
even
not
know
there.
It's missing until you stop.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is if you slow down or you're driving in a situation where you need to take quick, evasive action,
right,
you ain't going to be able to do it.
Okay.
Because you can't put enough force on that steering wheel to make the wheels turn fast enough to avoid hitting a pedestrian or having a collision with somebody. Like I said, at high speed, it's not an issue.
Right.
So he could just, drive on the highway and you could,
Or tell him to drive at 60 miles an hour on city streets.
Exactly.
I would enough. I don't know.
That would be my brother's solution, especially through, toll booths,
Yeah.
So they're going to have to. Unfortunately, this car mm-hmm. is not a terrible car to replace the rack in.
Okay.
It's actually pretty easy.
Okay.
But your husband knows how to do this job, I suspect.
I suspect he does.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to do it. He must have some golf matches coming up or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it. But
he can do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Encourage him.
It's not rocket science. It's nuts and bolts. But he can do it.
All right.
As long as he's careful and he doesn't hurt anybody.
Especially us.
I thank you so much.
See you, Monica.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, now it's my turn to ask you a question.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what time it is?
Time to dig out the Bronco Nagurski long underwear.
Almost, but no. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we unearth a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was on target.
Or the target of a lawsuit. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Kate from San Diego. You remember Kate, don't you?
Refresh my memory.
Well, Kate called us a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
And she was upset because she had just bought a Toyota Matrix and was not in love with it.
Mm.
Brand new. And she was already having buyer's remorse. My old grandmother. All grandmothers. Right.
By definition.
She had a saying, which translated into English, is, if the shirt doesn't fit, rip it off. Life's too short. You got to go right back, immediately.
Immediately? So you think, it's a hit. Am I going to take a bigger hit if I go immediately or in 6 months?
It doesn't matter. You could be dead in 5.5 months, and won't you be ticked off?
You could wait a year.
No.
Yeah, you're almost
a year of misery.
She might like the car after. That's what I told
my
wife.
What if she dies after 11 months?
Wait a year. You might like me. Give it a year.
That's the problem. Inertia sets in after a year, and look at your poor wife. She's still stuck with you.
Oh, I know. She fell for that one, didn't she? Anyway, what did we tell Kate?
Well, you finally agreed with me, and we told her to dump the Matrix as soon as possible and buy something she really loved. Life's too short.
Well, let's see how we did. Kate, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Look, before we find out what actually happened, please confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Yes, we have not spoken.
Okay, and that the answer you're going to give us here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the book we sent you called How to Start a Car Fire.
That's right.
So let me start with this question. What are you driving now, Kate?
I'm driving a Subaru Outback Sport.
Really?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a story there.
Yeah.
Do you remember in your earlier call you said, you know, I could be dead in 6 months?
Yeah.
Well, it turned out that about 5.5 months after my phone call with you guys, I was in a car accident on the highway.
Driving the Matrix.
Driving the Matrix.
Oh, that must have been the other book we sent you, How to Crash Your Car and Survive.
Exactly. So I totaled my car and had to buy a new one, and that's when I bought the Subaru Outback.
Was there some shortcoming of this Matrix that you could attribute the car accident to?
Well, I don't think it was the Matrix's fault that another driver changed lanes into my lane.
So I guess you got rid of the Matrix, not quite the way we suggested.
I think we suggested something about a lake.
Well, you're too law-abiding to have done that.
No.
That's right. There are no lakes in Southern California, so I was stuck.
Oh,
no lakes, right. Only man-made lakes.
That's right.
How do you like the Subaru?
I love it. It's great.
Great.
I love it. A lot of fun to drive. It has much more power than the Matrix, so it's more zippier, and it's excellent. I love it.
Was that your major complaint about the Matrix, that it was underpowered? What was I'm trying to remember what you didn't like about it.
My
mostly.
Big complaint before was that the handling was mushy. It felt like I was driving a minivan instead of a car.
So do you think our advice was good, or did we fail you, or did we help you, Kate? I mean, because we need to rate our answer here. You know, we have to decide if we should play the trumpet flourish or the
wah-wah-wah-wah thing.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? You'll be the judge.
I think your advice was great, and I think I should have followed it.
All right. Well, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Kate. You've been a wonderful contestant, and we have an Amana freezer for you.
Perfect.
Oh, you already have one. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, we have nothing. But anyway, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, and you're a lot of fun. Enjoy your new car.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, if you should hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and, in all likelihood, stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ed Benz from Honolulu.
Honolulu?
That's right.
Well, I'll let my brother do all the talk to you, because my brother is a Honolulu file. Honolulu, Lulu, Hawaii fire.
Honolulu, Lulu. How are you, Ed? Where in Honolulu do you live?
I'm living right up towards the base of the mountain, nice and cool climate.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Tommy, take it easy.
I'm going to guess at what the temperature is.
Right.
Ready?
Now?
Right now.
We don't have thermometers. We just walk outside with short sleeves and short pants, and that's always right.
And it always works. Isn't that something?
It's 84 degrees.
It's 84 degrees. We know it's 84 degrees. Because it's always 84 degrees. And no one even cares what it is.
My brother has the Hawaii weather station on his television. He has a direct satellite TV. All he wants is the Hawaii weather station.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't have a weatherman in Hawaii, do you?
We don't. It's always the same.
What would they do?
We just have a surf report. How's that?
Surf report.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have no worries because you're what? Living where? In paradise.
Paradise.
That's right.
So why are you calling?
Yeah. I mean, your car breaks down. What do you care?
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
No, Kuna Matata, man.
Because they live in paradise.
Anyway, Ed, you have a reason for calling us?
Yeah, I don't particularly have a problem with a specific car.
Oh.
I have a problem with all my cars. You see, it regards my cats.
Cats,
you've got about six cats, and they're fiercely territorial, and they mark everything, not just the territory itself, but even the cars that come in. So they spray on the bumpers all day long. And in the hot Hawaiian sun, that gets to be a real stench. So.
These male cats?
Yeah, male cats.
Oh, nothing smells. Oh, man.
Mm. Well, I'll have to have my brother, even though I am the Honolulu Lulu. I have no knowledge of cats.
No, but see, here's the idea. I have an idea, a contraption that might work. My brother spent some time in Johannesburg for a while, He had a BMW, and it got broken in three times. So him and some friends designed the contraption that would put an end to all break-ins. Yeah. And it's now known as the Johannesburg Jolter.
Johannesburg Jolter. It's 100,000 volts of electricity.
What they did, they connected the coil to the door handle.
Yeah.
Now, it worked fantastic, but what happened is the first person to get in contact with it was a cop that was patrolling the area.
See, that's what happens. All right.
There you go.
Or you leave your door ajar and somebody decides to do a good deed and close it for you and you electrocute them. You want to do the same thing to the cats. And you might be able to do it because the electricity might be able to follow a conductive path through the urine.
Well, that was the whole idea. So will that work?
I could see it. I could see it, Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, that would hurt, especially. Yeah.
Just the thought of it.
Don't get me wrong. I love these animals. I just teach them a lesson.
Teach them just a lesson. You can't teach an animal a lesson because this is they're doing. What they do out of instinct. They're not doing it to anger you.
I understand that, yeah.
First of all, it won't work because the only time the coil emits this 100,000 or 50,000 volts is when you turn the key to the start position.
Right, okay.
That's why it worked down in Johannesburg.
All right.
Because it was for people who were, in fact, trying to steal the car. The coil has no voltage whatsoever when it's sitting there.
No, but you could make a pressure-sensitive switch
right.
that the cat would...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could do that, certainly.
That would energize a little circuit that would open and close the primary circuit of the coil.
Yeah, we can do that. You want a little diagram? It's a simple RC circuit.
That sounds great. As a matter of fact, I'll put your name on the product once it's being commercially peddled. How's
this
that?
The Cat Master? Or the Cat Blaster?
Click and Clack's Cat Terminator.
Cat Terminator. Okay.
All right.
Hey, Ed, thanks a lot. Enjoy paradise.
I certainly do every day.
And we'll write to you when you're in jail.
Yeah,
we will. See you, Ed.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, it's that point in the show again.
Oh, good. Is this when the knife-wielding Japanese chef bursts into the studio with a hibachi grill and he cooks us up some sizzling beef yakitori?
No, would you settle for Bugsy with a penknife and some turkey jerky?
Sure, why not? We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more lousy car advice in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I need some time to think. I need time to feel. Life from day to day gets too real. Sweeping sage yonder mountaintop, a soothing sight.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new fall line of pumpkin spice engine additives from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Tire Rack, offering more than 500 tire models from 17 manufacturers. Learn more at TireRack.com. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists,
putting science to work for a healthy environment and a safer world.
More at UCSUSA.org. And
Esurance, born online and raised by technology. Which sounds better than being raised by wolves like my brother.
Oh, my brother.
Plus, they've got online car insurance tools and apps.
The wolves didn't have that.
Esurance, insurance for the modern world.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
back.
Wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And as promised, it's from the World War II series. And this was sent in, actually, the inspiration was sent in by Todd Markin, and I don't know where he's from, but he's out in cyberspace.
Is there
someplace.
A dimly lit Quonset hut involved here?
You'll see.
Go ahead.
And I took his suggestion, and I did the necessary obfuscation, unclarification, and
Declarification.
Declarification, and all those other things that I do. Here it is.
I love it.
Close your eyes. D-Day is approaching. Operation Overlord is just...
You're happy about World War II, aren't you?
Well, it's over. I'm happy that it's over. D-Day is approaching. Operation Overlord is just days away, but only a select few know how many. It's vitally important that the location of German troop concentrations and munitions dumps be communicated to the Allied command in England. Perhaps even more important, the French resistance fighters must now be put to work. Rail lines and bridges need to be taken out, and the timing is critical. Yeah. Page two.
Yeah.
Radio communication is too risky. Information must be exchanged in person. To that end, a small boat leaves England, headed for the French coast. Two robust young men quietly work the oars. There's no moon this night, and the thick overcast adds an unexpected yet welcome measure of security.
Yeah.
The third man in the boat is too old and feeble to be of much use rowing. He works the signal light as they near the shore. Three quick flashes followed by a pause and then two flashes. His counterpart, a retired cavalryman, a veteran of the Great War, is hunkered down in the sand on the French coast. He signals three quick flashes with his light, the all clear to come ashore.
Wow.
The men quickly exchange documents, and in an instant, they're gone. The Frenchman disappearing into the inky shadows.
I knew it. I knew it.
The three in the boat swiftly and quietly rowing back to Mother England. But here's the interesting part. The soldiers of the German shore patrol, and there were many of them, each with the keen eyesight one would expect of young men, didn't see them or their flashing signal lights.
Ooh.
The question is, why?
Why not?
Why did they not see them? And I'm going to give you a hint. It had to do with the old men.
I did notice that the guy in the boat was old and the guy on the shore was old.
Mm. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Bridget from Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Bridget from Seattle.
With a D?
Bridge with a T.
Bridget.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like a little bridge.
Yeah.
Got it.
From Seattle.
Right.
What's up?
Well, I am calling because we tried to help my friend fix her car and didn't work. And when she took it to the mechanic, they said we had done $1,300 worth of damage to the car.
Wait, who's we?
My partner and I.
Okay.
And so she wants us to pay her $1,300 for her car.
Well, tell us what you did, and we'll tell you if you owe it to her.
Wait a minute. Okay. Before you go on.
Yes.
Are you currently on speaking terms?
Yes. A little strained, but yes.
Little strained. All right. Now, give us all the details as best you can recall them.
Okay.
What kind of a car is it for us? Let's start with
that. It's a Ford Ranger pickup, a 1992.
Okay.
And it belonged to her father who passed away, and she has an emotional attachment to it. She doesn't really drive it. She has another car that she drives.
Mm-hmm.
But she lends it to people, da-da-da-da. So we asked to borrow it, and she said, yeah, sure, but you need to jump it. The battery's dead. So we said, okay, we can do that. Mm-hmm. So we went over and tried to jump the truck, and nothing happened. So my partner, who's an electrician, has a battery charger at home. So he offered to take the battery home and charge it.
Good.
So we did that, and she's a midwife. And so she had meanwhile gone off to deliver a baby. So we left her a message saying, you know, we're going to charge it overnight and bring it back. And so she called and thanked us, and we brought it back, put it back in the truck. Nothing happened. So, you know, connected it back up. No starter, no clicking, nothing. The lights went on. That was it. So then my partner said, well, that's all I can do. Your battery must be completely dead. And so she took it to the mechanic, and he said that we charged it backwards and ruined all the computer parts.
No.
I don't believe it.
And he kind of went on and on that he had seen this happen once in his 30-year career, and so...
Yeah, he must have seen Bigfoot that same day.
Yeah.
You can't charge it backwards. I mean, I think in some cases, if you hook the charger up backwards, I mean, our charger won't allow you to.
Right.
Right.
And most chargers will either, you know, send out a warning signal, reverse polarity, a light comes on, or maybe it'll blow the battery up. But
okay.
I don't believe it'll charge it.
No, it won't charge it.
Okay.
Now, it's possible you jumped it backwards.
You know, my partner doesn't, we don't think that we did. He's never owned a car newer than a 1988. He's had to jump a lot of cars in his life. And he's an electrician.
Yeah, he must know his pluses from his minuses.
Yeah.
And
it ain't rocket science.
Yeah.
And if you had the thing charged up,
uh-huh,
and the battery is okay, then if you had nothing, no sound, no nothing,
right,
then you probably need a starter.
Yeah, I mean, how did he explain that it won't even crank?
He didn't.
So he charged it for a starter relay, an engine control computer, a battery, a control module. He said the diode in the air conditioner line
may
be bad.
No, it's fuzzy dice, too. You should get the new fuzzy dice. Yeah.
You know, and she also had it fixed without, I mean, I said to her, well, I want a second opinion, and she'd already gone ahead and done the work and paid for it and then wanted us.
How good a friend was she?
Was she?
That's what my sister said. I said to her, if I had $1,300 laying around, I'd give it to you, but.
Do you have $650?
No.
How about a dollar down, dollar a week? I mean, there are lots of ways. Well, I mean, good friendships survive these kinds of crises.
Right.
And, you know, and the best way to survive it is to try to meet her halfway. I mean, you can explain to her, look, we may have done something wrong. I don't think we did.
Okay.
And if we did do something, and there's certainly the chance that you hooked up when you first went to the truck and tried to jump it.
Sure.
You hooked up the jumpers backwards. There's always a possibility,
sure,
no matter how experienced you are,
right,
that you did that.
Right.
You know, it's possible. But I would say to her, look, you know, we should try to resolve this somehow that doesn't make either one of us bear the entire financial responsibility.
Right.
And the best way to do that is to split it. And if you don't have the money right now, is her financial situation much better than yours or worse?
Oh, yeah, much better.
She's loaded.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, first, I think you have to establish that both of you want to save the friendship.
Right.
I mean, what if it were, instead of $1,300, $1.30?
We'd pay it.
You'd pay it, right?
Right, right.
Pay it all yourself, or you'd certainly be able to come up with the 65 cents.
Right.
Or 70 cents, whatever it is,
right,
depending on who's
round
doing
it off to the closest nickel. Well, this is why I suggest you do it a dollar down, dollar a week, because
sure,
if anything goes wrong, you can stop payments.
Oh.
Right? If you pony up $650, you may tell you, look, Bridget, drop dead. Don't ever call me again. And you're out a friendship and $650.
And $650.
Yeah. But frankly, we don't think you did anything wrong.
Yeah, we might not be charging people's batteries for that anymore, unless they sign a consent.
No, and you know, and you really want to maintain your friendship with her.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah.
Friends are hard to find. Trust me, I don't have any.
Right, and we all know why.
All right, well, thank you.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck,
good
Bridget.
Luck, Bridget. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
888-CAR-TALK. Jeez.
How do we get involved in all this stuff?
Yeah.
I used to have friends.
I know it. And then you started fixing their cars. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
I don't myself anymore.
Just leave me the keys. I'll take care of it. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kurt, and I'm calling from Glen, New Hampshire.
Is this a Kurt with a K or a C?
Kurt with a K. K-U-R-T.
No kidding.
And you're calling from where in New Hampshire?
Glen, New Hampshire.
Where's Glen?
Glen is part of the Mount Washington Valley.
Oh, you're...
You must live close to our chief lackey, Doug Mayer.
Where's he live?
Randolph.
Randolph is somewhere near here, but I'm not sure where.
Neither does he.
Yeah, that's why he's here most of the time. He can't find his way home.
I don't blame him.
So what's going on, Kurt?
Well, I actually have two theories related to automobiles and driving.
Ah.
And as you know, theories are great because they don't have to be based on any proof.
Right.
And don't forget, most great ideas come from observation of something.
And that's exactly what this is.
Okay, lay it on us.
Well, this is a tourist-based area, and there are an awful lot of tourists that drive up here in the summer and in the autumn to look at all the leaves.
Right.
And I get pretty frustrated driving in these huge parades following vehicles going 26 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. Mm-hmm. And I have begun to notice a trend. Yeah, and I have narrowed it down not only to a type of vehicle that is always at the front of these parades.
And we know that the guy in front is the slowest driver.
Yes, but it's also a model and even a color.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
That's specific.
I'm going to guess
that
what you've discovered is that the guy in front is driving an American car.
It is American.
Is it a guy?
It's almost always a guy.
Almost always a guy. And I think that vehicle he's driving is made by the Ford Motor Company.
It is a Ford.
Really?
Huh?
It's a Ford Windstar.
Windstar.
And it's blue.
Yeah. It's just one guy that's ticking you off.
I think he waits for me.
It might be the same guy
every
Sunday.
Yeah. And my theory is this. That the reason it's a Ford is because a Ford is it's kind of a fairly boring car to buy. A minivan, because they're grossly underpowered, and I think the people that drive them generally aren't in any hurry to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue part, I think that goes along with the Ford. I think that it's just kind of a boring color. And I think that these people just aren't interested in much else beyond their own life.
Right, yeah. And they're more interested in their kids and getting the kids, the 3.2 kids, and the and the dog to soccer practice and whatever. And any vehicle will do.
Yes.
As Columbo used to say, nothing fancy, just transportation.
Yep.
And they obviously drive well below the speed limit because they're up there looking at the leaves.
They are. They're looking. I like to say they're driving with their left blinker on, looking for a place to turn right.
Yeah, but that's okay because they're only up there a couple of weeks a year.
Well, I don't know. I think there's just one, and he's been harassing me.
Well, time for you to relocate, man.
I think so.
So you've seen enough leaves already. You have become jaded. You've lost your appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
For the surrounding beauty.
Without a doubt. I try to leave whenever the tourists come.
Right. So I think you need to go and spend those peak leaf-peeping weeks in Manhattan. and you will then develop a deeper appreciation for where you live.
Yep.
Yeah,
see, my brother and I both have no interest whatsoever in leaf peeping.
Yeah.
And the reason is that we are both colorblind. And so when our wives say to us, look at that.
Yeah.
We're looking on the
look
sidewalk.
Look at those oranges and reds.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
I think she's referring to somebody walking down the street.
Yeah.
She says, not that way, jerk, this way.
Well, that's one of my theories.
Okay, that's theory number one.
The second theory is related to vehicles and things hanging from the rear view mirror.
Aha.
And again, I have narrowed it down to one vehicle that by far is the vehicle that tends to have the most junk hanging from the rear view mirror.
Oh.
Like air fresheners and graduation tassels and baby shoes and whatever else.
Yeah, now this is not an American car.
No, it is.
It is.
Yep, different company though.
Oh, it's gonna be a General Motors car.
It is.
A Chevy.
It's a Pontiac.
Pontiac?
It's an older model Pontiac Grand Am.
Grand Am.
And it's usually maroon.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a job? I mean, I'm just curious what you do with your time.
I'm actually a school teacher.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What grade do you teach?
I teach 5th and 6th.
Maybe they could move you up to 7th and 8th next year. I think you might be a little more challenged.
Yeah. I think so.
But, well, it's good to know that there are people paying attention to this. And how does this impact you? This doesn't necessarily, but you just...
No, I just have so much time when I'm sitting in these long, you know, rolling traffic jams.
Yeah.
That I tend to notice things.
Do you ski?
I do.
Well, you know, a broken leg might keep you off the roads for a while this winter. So this whole Kurt, a pleasure.
Oh boy, okay.
And it's always nice to know that there are people out there who are looking.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to discover something interesting.
Yeah, well, there's not much else to do here. Okay.
You haven't found anything interesting yet, but keep working on it.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santorini, Stuffed Zucchini, Clam Linguini, Fettuccine, Cheese Panini, Cocktail Weenie, Dry Martini, Luncheon Cini, is John Bugsy Lawler. A little poetic license there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons looking for someone else's Wi-Fi signal in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1239, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can check out the list of every employee who has ever worked at Car Talk Plaza.
Now, you want to guess how many names are on that list?
You mean like our chauffeur, Pico Fedropoff, and our marriage counselor, Marion Haste, all those people?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, I don't know.
Close, 605.
I smell a pension scam here.
Anyway, browse through the entire Car Talk staff list, from our mother-in-law liaison, Stella Payne Diaz, to our Jamaican document security specialist, Euripides Upman, all this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at troweprice.com. And
the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And
WeatherTech, maker of laser-measured all-weather floor liners to help protect a vehicle's floor. Learn more at weathertech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.